Welcome to this week's episode of the Smallest Cast Podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we've got Dennis Cater here with us. Welcome, Dennis.
Thanks, Nate.
And we're actually on premise today at Catalyst Campus. So today with us, we've got Rich Birchfield, the Executive Director. We've got Lauren Bacalane, the Lead Operations Specialist. And we've got Kenny Hollis, the CFO and CIO of Catalyst Campus. So welcome, everybody. Before you get in, though, real quick, the podcast that we're going to talk about today is really designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. So with that, welcome, everybody. Rich, welcome, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, Nate. Glad you and Dennis could come on over here, and we look forward to telling you all about Catalyst Campus and what's going on down here.
Well, I think that's kind of important because there's a lot of people working down here.
Yeah.
Dennis, what's up?
Yeah, well, I just want to say I'm excited about today's episode because we've been wanting to come to Catalyst Campus and talk to you guys for a year probably now. But, this is actually our first live show too, recorded show. So this is also very exciting for us. So glad to be here. Super excited to talk to you guys, and I'm looking forward to doing some more collaborative work with you as part of the smalls, but in general with small government contractors.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dennis. And I do want to say, too, it's great. You know, obviously, we have a great friendship with you guys. The smalls have been here before. It's nice to be on the podcast, but it's nice to know, too, that we've already got a foundation set, you know, with what you guys are doing up and down the Front Range. So this is really neat.
No, it's been great. I know one of the first times that I think I attended one of the smalls events way back years ago was actually here at Catalyst Campus, and it was kind of a co thing put on together with another nonprofit organization. So, well, cool. So we got three of you guys here. So Rich, I'll let you kind of kick it off by talking to us of what Catalyst Campus is.
Sure. And then for Lauren and Kenny, I know they'll jump in too if they've got some more to add to this.
Jump right away. Everybody's unmuted, so you're good.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome.
So you got to go back about 5 years when our owner and founder, Kevin O'Neill, had this vision and a need for, there's really two threads to this story. The first is he's a hometown guy, and he wanted to provide a legacy back to where he grew up. And as a business developer, this was brewing in the back of his mind for quite some time. And then as a portfolio owner and some of those companies being the aerospace and defense industry market, he realized that we needed to have a safe, agnostic platform built where we could bring together the small agiles with aerospace and defense industry, with commercial industry, along with our warfighters, and even some key partnerships that exist here up and down the Front Range in Colorado. And from those thoughts, Catalyst Campus was born. And the idea is it's an agnostic environment that we have here in this beautiful setting of a nice blend of the historic nature of the train depot that was built in 1917 that we say time and time again has now been tricked out by modern millennial day standards. So you're working about one of the hippest places in town as you walk through the historical flavor of it. And again, the idea is in this agnostic environment that Kenny, Lauren, myself, and our team provides and even engages in is the safe haven where folks can come together in a wide variety of programs where they can engage with each other, and they have to play by the same rules. And that is really, it doesn't matter if you look at the resource of the small agiles all the way to the bigs. If you come here, no one's going to snub anyone out, and the idea is you collaborate. And what has happened in the course of the growth in the last 5 years of the campus, in Kevin's vision, bring these folks from companies from these different sectors together, and let's see what's going to happen. As he has created physical capacity capability has arisen from it. And Kenny and I will talk about some of the programs that are resident here now. And that capability continues to draw more and more from industry, from academia, from the warfighting community, because they want to be a part of it. And when we have our full contact lunches here, like when the accelerator's in session, and people literally bump into each other to get the free food, all of a sudden they start talking and they start laughing, and we have different events here. And in those conversations, ideas are born, and those relationships continue to grow, and then you never know what's going to come out of that, but it's typically more capability.
Nice. So let's get back to Kevin O'Neill real quick. What was he before he bought this place? I mean, can you just give a quick background of Kevin's background? I mean, is he DOD? Is he a real estate agent? What is he?
I'm looking at Kenny. So honestly, entrepreneur, I think that's really if you look at his portfolio that I'm not going to get into, but he's got, you know, a wide range of portfolio, plus 30 companies that go from just commercial side of what goes on in the local arena and up and down the front range to aerospace and defense industry. And so, you know, when he looks at a project like Catalyst Campus, it's everything about economic development. It's everything about making his hometown a more solid place for people to live and create opportunities for people to be a part of what's going on. And now that he's got this other end of aerospace and defense industry in his portfolio, you know, he's a strong leader in, hey, how do we keep this nation safe? How do we work with our allies to create more capability to make the world a safer place? And it sounds altruistic, but it's true. Kenny, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think what's cool about his story, right, is, you know, I went to school here, went to college here. You know, as small as a small can get, you know, he was hanging sheetrock, you know, for his own startup, right, to flip properties really is where he started. And everything that he's done has really been this focus on growing Colorado Springs, revitalizing, you know, okay, downtown Colorado Springs. And so it's really been about bringing smalls in, bringing change, bringing in a new district, a new feel, and partnering with the local school, right, partnering with UCCS here locally, and really just giving back to the community. And I think those are one of those some of those things that only smalls really do anymore, right? Only the smalls really care about. And so the idea of bringing in, you know, he's a cool concept, you know, that's called tenonaires, right? So instead of bringing in a $1 billion company, let's make a bunch of tenonaires, right? A bunch of people, you know, make 10 millionaires in the local community and grow the community that way. And that's always kind of been his focus is how do we take this accelerator? How do we take these opportunities and grow that right here at this campus and in the district that he's building here, right? And so that's always been that focus. And that's who he is. I mean, really at the core, he wants his legacy to be Colorado Springs. He wants it to be bringing the smalls to the forefront, you know, and the guys that are like him, because when it comes right down to it, you know, he's still that guy that started off hanging sheetrock, right? He's still that small business owner. He's still that guy.
And there's not a whole lot of them either. So out there, I think we need more of the Kevins and others in the world, at least in our community too.
Absolutely. So I did want to switch slightly off of this topic is tenants. We talked about tenants. So I know you guys deal a lot with formerly the F-Space, now Space Force, and AFRL. He's here a lot. Can you talk about those relationships? Because that's kind of, you guys have become the catalyst for engagement with those folks, right? And then also other, those are the ones I know of. And then you guys also have the accelerator. So what are the, I guess I'm asking a couple questions here. You know, who are you engaging with mostly? And then what are some of the programs?
Sure. And we can, Kenny and I will tag team back and forth on this. So we, you know, a wide variety of tenants here. So if you look on the military side, We've got strong engagement with NIWC PAC, so the Navy side out of San Diego. We're also dealing with the Aegis Program Office out on the East Coast. We've got the Army Space and Missile Defense Command that are engaged with Space Camp and other activities. Obviously with the Air Force, U.S. Space Force that you mentioned too, Dennis, they're steady state in that. But what's interesting, just on the service side, they continually mix it up together. So we can truly say this is a purple environment, you know, and I would even go so far to say interagency environment, in the sense of as we continue to grow in space and what type of space it looks like, folks on the interagency side, they're getting more involved too. So it's really a neat melting pot in that regard. And then you add in, as Kenny said, bringing in the smalls, if you will, but we're also finding the resource of industry that is a part of here. So you've got some small agiles, you've got some on the bigger side too. And everyone's willing to share, they're willing to engage, they're willing to talk. And again, through the physical capacity that's been created now, bringing the right folks together, now all of a sudden you've got capability. So a wonderful story, BlueStack, which is a local homegrown company, they created in supporting AFRL, created the Unified Data Library, which has become a bedrock of support on a global scale for commercial space data. And then we get into, from that to Space Camp and that DevSecOps environment. And Kenny, I don't want to hog this thing up, so I don't know if you want to jump in and talk about engagement with Space Camp or Platform One, if you want to, just because they're becoming quite a workhorse, and then we'll slide into SAC-T.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we speak a lot about the four pillars of the DoD and some of the things that were created here on campus, and so the UDL is definitely one of those products. And then we've got, you know, what is Space Camp and Platform One, which is now becoming that single source of code.
Are those two the same, one and the same?
They are not, but they are born of the same. And so what has become the DoD approach, which is Platform One, came from Space Camp itself. It came from that sort of level up. There was a number of programs sort of around that same concept. Okay. And
because then you also have Kessel Run, which is kind of what kicked the whole thing off, right?
So conceptually.
Yeah. And yeah, so if you go to the Northeast, and Kessel Run was created in order to, provide that software development factory and quick response approach to our warfighters, out in the box. We were fortunate enough that two fellas, Matt Houston and Jeff McCoy, who were part of the original development team there, as the Air Force has had them travel around and made their way to the Valley, and I'm talking about Silicon Valley, to eventually, in their absent assets, to eventually become a part of the Space Camp development team, along with the guy that everyone knows, Rob Slaughter. And they said, hey, let's take best of breed of everything we've seen, everything we've been a part of, and let's set a new model that is just, that much further ahead from those lessons learned. And hence Space Camp came about, which Kenny was getting to.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I hear people throw these terms around what are they? Sure. I've never seen a pictorial. I'm a dumb guy, so get me a picture and I'll fully understand then, hopefully.
Well, I think what's interesting, right, is, as all this sort of formed, right, you had Kessel Run. Kessel Run certainly was kind of that that trailblazer of sorts, right? And then Rob Slaughter and Space Camp, they come in, they bring in some different concepts, right, some open source. They bring in a different cloud approach. They bring in a lot of things that are very different to the government. And they also don't go to Greenfield immediately, right? They come in and they put a security wrapper, right, around existing code, and then create a greenfield for new code to be created. And that's what was different, right? Instead of going in and wholesale rewriting code and redoing everything, they said, okay, what's not, completely mission critical and safety critical, right, up front? Let's go fix those things. And so they really kind of found that niche to come in and really prove themselves and improve that platform, right? And so, what you find is cyber is probably the most threatening to all things, right? Information is the most threatening to all things. So let's attack that first, right? Let's make the cyber wrapper first. And so they bring in a lot of that security and really kind of change the way really all the government looks at things, right? And we've got, some pretty interesting stories of, just simple security features that are missing on new tech. So do you take that out to, a long process of having it rebuilt, right? Take that back out to a prime? Or do you go, which is, I think, the real value here for the government, right, is bring that back inside, take that to the smalls, let the small agiles attack these problems, right? Especially in space, because it's such a greenfield environment, right? There's just so many things that need to be done. But take a small, hey, come out and fix this problem. Or even internally, hey, Air Force, fix your own problems so that if you get into a situation where something needs to be done, the Air Force can take care of themselves, right? You get into wartime situation, all of a sudden you've got, an issue. You now have internal capability because the smalls are so deeply attached as contractors and so close to the system, they're able to fix those problems in real time, right? So now we're talking combat speed, not business speed, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I think the beauty of the smalls, the beauty of kind of what we have on this campus is we're moving at almost combat speed, right? We're moving at same day, right? When they scrum and sprint that day, they're solving real world problems. And when we talk about real world problems, and we'll get to, I think when we kind of get back on track here talking about it, Rich will talk about the accelerator and some of these other programs. Those programs are problems that are being brought forward saying we either don't have it or we don't know what to do, right? And he can talk about the SAC-T, the SPOC, and these kind of programs that are on campus as well, right? These are real world solutions to problems that when Space Force was created, nobody knew we had, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, who's going to do it? I don't know. We can spend 2-3 years pulling together IDICs and bids and do all this stuff, or we can go fix it today and deliver it today with, you know, rapid prototyping in the smalls, right?
Which has to be, it had to have been an uphill battle. I've been DOD 19 years, and especially on the software side, to get them to do anything other than, hey, we've got DRs here that are 1,000 DRs. We need a software patch. We're going to put a software patch in the next 36 to 48 months. And then we have to let it soak for 60 days and have to test every single one of those DRs out. Yep. When if they'd really just do the way industry does, Android, Apple, anything, you name it, right? Your microwave is getting new updates nowadays. But the whole point is to get those updates, do one or two at a time, let it soak for a week and make sure it works. If not, pull it back, right? I mean, just keep moving on. This ideology of finishing it all in one swoop is not working.
Well, and what's really cool, and it's anecdotal at best, right? If that's even the right word, if I pronounce it right. But the you know, we had General Raymond here on campus. So they had him debug, write code, push the code to test, and test it there in an environment, and they pushed it to the live system, right? So he actually was able to debug, and they did. I mean, something simple, right? Yeah.
But well, you don't want to take your hardest problem, right?
but you've got
the 4-star.
You had the 4-star actually, tech a problem right there. That's how quickly and realistic, and it's up there. It's actually now in rotation, monitoring satellites. Nice. So some code that he wrote himself, literally in what was it, a couple minutes, right? Yeah. Became live code instantaneously, and that's the difference between, you know, rewriting code, not attacking from the greenfield, right? You put that wrapper, right? And then you just go fix problems, right? And that's what's really cool about some of the things that's happening here. And then it's literally that quick, right? When we talk about the accelerator, it's here's a problem. Let's go fix it, right? Yes. And that's what it's about. And nobody else, primes can't do that, right?
No.
And I think it gets back to the ecosystem, which is great to have Lauren here because, I mean, the way we're tied into not just the programs, where like Kumar Gartman runs the Space Accelerator with AFRLRV, but we're also the staff that helps keep this beautiful place running. We engage with the tenants all the time. And I think it's the atmosphere that's different than going into, call it buildings 1, 2, or 3, you know, that we've all been to many times, that it's just a standard, this is how it runs. And I mean, like, this is where Lauren can talk about what the engagement's like here. Cause when you walk in here, and as I'm looking across the table, anyone we have hosted, you know, in the campus, as soon as they walk in, and Nate, you know this, all of a sudden that grin right there, that grin comes up. It's like, what is this place about? And then people go, where the heck was this when I was growing up?
Well,
because it's different.
Once again, 19 years DOD, and I can tell you, now I'm not ex-military, but 19 years DOD working as contractor, as prime, and I can tell you there's not a whole lot of buildings on base. In 19 years, I've seen one building that actually has beer, had a bar. You guys have a bar, so come on. that's what the smile is all about right there. Sure. So.
Well, that's, you know, and that's the uncomfortable part of the change for the government, right? But, you know, that's the competitive change, right?
You have to. You're not going to get the best and brightest person off the street and pull them away from Google or someplace like that with a DOD salary. Sorry, not going to happen.
Well, and you can be, you know, you can be competitive in that salary range. I think just the cost of doing business is starting to sort of level out in that regard, and that's why they're going the direction they are. You know, there's a lot of contractual vehicles that are a little bit more price friendly that way. But the reality is, you've got to attract that talent in a way that you can't on
exactly.
base.
So it's not all. I would say it's less than 50% of the time. Is it about the money? It's more about everything all combined. It's the little things.
Exactly.
It's a capability coming in having Windows, right?
Right.
Programming with Windows, programming in your, dare I say, shorts or whatever, right? And flip-flops, right? Where you don't have to feel like you're, I don't know, like you're in the military, really. I mean, that's really what attracts people to it is I can still help the DOD and the warfighter, but I don't have to be like them, if that makes sense.
Exactly. And that's how it is with everyone who comes onto campus. You know, you have people walk through the door and they're so used to being in an area where they have to, you know, wear suits and ties and everything. But then once you're on campus once, you just see people coming back and doing stuff like today. Just you're meeting everyone and just seeing that camaraderie and having all of, like, the tenants on campus. You just have that crossover. So it's cool to see back and forth.
Yeah. Well, of course, now with with everything happening in the world with COVID and everything else. And it's nice to see people actually getting back now. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, this, even today, it's still not what it is normally here at the campus.
Nope.
But that's, I've enjoyed coming to the campus for the last, 3 years now. Mm-hmm. Every single event you guys have, I try to make, just because, if nothing else, it's just to meet one more person and just have one more network connection that we can talk anything about, right? Whether it be just the weekend stuff or actually shop or talk shop, right?
Sure. So if you weren't so shy, you probably get more out of it. Just
I am kind of shy.
You're going to have to work on that. Yeah.
And so that's kind of like with the demo days and community days that the accelerator has. And so that's another tenant that we have here on campus. So Rich, do you want to talk a little bit more about the accelerator?
Sure.
Somebody, well, I don't care. Yeah, right? Somebody tell us what.
You can go for it.
I think we said Rich and accelerator like 12 times. Got to take a hint at some point.
Okay, we're going to pause. Rich, talk about the accelerator.
Sure. It's in partnership with the Air Force Research Lab, Space Vehicles Directorate, and under the command of Eric Felt down there, who's been just a tremendous teammate, and then Gabe Mount, who's our program director down there. Our program director up here is Kamar Gartman, and that's the neat thing about the campus, too. We, as I said earlier, you know, some of us on the staff, we're taking care of the campus, keeping it beautiful, working with our teammates, and others are actually engaged in the programs, running them just like Kamar does. And it's a 12-week a semi-residential program that's run every other quarter in the course of a year. And what will happen is AFRL will start up a program, problem statement, excuse me. They'll circulate that with other teammates that include multi-service to get to make sure it's tuned right so that it can have far-reaching impacts. Once it's finalized, it's let on a worldwide scale. We've had companies from around the globe participate in the Space Accelerator. And they'll whittle it down to 8 companies, typically. They are also given money to participate, help offset with lodging and traveling expenses, so it becomes a lot more easier for them to engage. Why they're here for the 12 weeks, we give them office space because we recognize that the company may be as big as the 5 of us here at this table, and if one of us is gone every other week for 12 weeks, I mean, that person, as much as us wear multiple hats, if one's gone, it hurts the company, so they have that flexibility to do that. But they're run through a very robust curriculum that deals with business development, how to run your business, because even the folks who participate would say we've got some brilliant engineers in these companies who come to participate in the accelerator, and they would even joke saying, and they have no business running a company, but they get experience through like SBDC and PTAC, helping them navigate defense contracting paths, which is very important. And of course, that comes funded by the federal government, so it's a cost that they don't have to bear. And going through that, probably the biggest benefit are the engagements that are set up through the curriculum. And Kamar and her team make it so that they have to have a minimum of 50 different sit downs with a wide variety of warfighters and commercial industry or space and defense industry. So they walk out of here with a network that is on fire. One of our challenges, though, is when they're done, how to keep them going. They come here through a variety of different means on how they get their funding. But the idea is the exposure of, and obviously they're here to focus around a particular problem statement that's been generated, and then they'll tackle that. And would you say it's a pretty intense 12 weeks, Lauren, while they're here?
Intense, but also great.
Yeah.
You know, you have to say that, but
it just, never any issues.
No.
Never.
Right. Awesome. No, it's a great accelerator cohort process. It just brings more people to the campus, and you have more opportunities to meet new people and see all the great work that they're doing. And not only, like Rich was saying, you do have these companies coming to campus, but the amount of, you know, they do fireside chats or, you know, with the demo days, the community days, just the network that the accelerator team, like Kamar and Shay, bring in, you know, it's just the atmosphere of the campus that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting watching the diversity of a company that's pre-beta, right? Doesn't have something ready, right? Nothing tangible yet, but an idea. And and another participant that's got a asset in orbit. Right.
Yeah.
And both of them high-fiving each other because they both got the same, you know, level one SBIR. Right. And so, you know, it's pretty exciting to see. Right. It's a diverse group. But I think in the end, I think the reward's the same. Right. It's that access. It's the network and a lot of education on how to work with the government, because a lot of the problems that come out of the accelerator, and, you know, we also have the CTRAC program, you know, that comes out of academia, comes out of the academy. you know, really these are problem sets with nobody to solve, right? And you know, these are people that have tech that happen to fit that mold, yeah. and like, no, actually, here's a cool opportunity for me. And so it's a, you know, it's a pretty cool marriage between the needs of a young company to really attack something, apply their trade, apply their tech, whatever they've done, their yeah. ideas, and then something like Space Force or something, you know, like Air Force, you know, AFRL, right, RV that needs a solution, right? And so it's a pretty cool marriage. It's kind of fun to watch.
So for those listeners out there, we interviewed both Kumar and Shay. So episode 9, go listen to it, right? Yeah. It turned out a great episode. I think a lot of people started listening to that because they have their tech collision event coming up July 28th through the 30th. So
end of July.
I know we were trying to push that on the smalls. We're going to be pushing that some more here coming up every week now when we put out our weekly email distro to everybody. You know, we've got around 400 people that get that every single week. So we're pushing that out, try to let companies know. One of the things that I had always talked, kind of how the accelerator works is they usually have a very specific problem statement, right? Where the government comes to them with one of these. One of the things I'd like to see, and I've talked with both Kumar and Shay about this, I'd really like to see kind of an open topic. Because I've actually ran across 3 or 4 small businesses that have amazing tech, but they don't fit into a category because it's brand new, right? Nobody's ever thought about this new design, new widget that they have. So every time I've sent them, they're like, well, we don't fit that. Well, we don't fit that. We don't fit that. I'm like, well, what's the idea? And some of their ideas that I won't mention here, but I can tell you the government needs their ideas.
Yeah.
And if they had some type of open pitch sometime, I would love to see an open pitch of 12 weeks, just all for nothing. Just what do you got? Show us what you got, right? Maybe you've got a new moped or something that's got rockets on the side. I don't know. But the point being is
sold.
Right. We need those right now.
That's right. I'm telling you, man. Maybe put a couple of wings on it too.
I'll take two. Put them on Rich's credit card.
Right. That's right.
We'll need them to get around campus. Yeah.
I think you've inspired Kumar because she's taken that to heart. And they're looking at what Spring 21 might look like. So you may see that come to fruition.
Like I said, because of the role that Dennis and I are playing with the smalls right now, we get a chance to talk to all these new people, and they don't know where to go, right?
Right.
You know, the Small Business Development Center, yeah, they're great for helping you come up to speed on how to develop your business and all that kind of stuff. But when you have an entrepreneur with that new idea, that innovative idea, how do you get that to market, right? You can't go on to some Shark Tank, essentially, right? It's military ideas. So get those ideas out there. And I think that it'd be a good thing for the government. So, so we've got the accelerator. What other? C-Track. Yeah, you mentioned C-Track.
So with C-Track, keep in mind that the day-to-day operations of Catalyst Campus are run by the nonprofit Catalyst Campus for Technology and Innovation. That is the parent of also another nonprofit called C-Track, which right now, through a partnership intermediary agreement with CyberWorks, provides direct support to Colonel Bill Wainick and his crew that are currently, you know, living up at and once COVID's over, back up, living at the Air Force Academy, you know, looking at a wide variety of opportunities for engagement, you know, between airmen, between commercial industry, the C-Track folks and other folks who play up there. And the idea is to look at problems that are out there, Air Force-related problems, at least for now, that they can tackle. And it's almost a similar model of what happens almost in the accelerator fashion. So John Thorpe is our program manager, our program director up there through C-Track, again, part of our team here. He works very closely like a teammate like with Kumar, looking at ways to leverage the way we do business and supporting Bill Wainick and what he's doing up at the Academy at CyberWorks.
And you know, episode 2, we interviewed C-Track.
There you go.
And CyberWorks. So nice. It was a good time. So we're kind of making our way through the Catalyst campus here. So if you haven't found that out by now.
Sure.
Well, no, I was just going to say that actually might be a good open forum for some of those smalls that you're talking about and that open accelerator. You know, that is, you know, one of the big differences in the direction. So if you've done the C-Track interview, you've done the accelerator interview, right? One is a problem set, right? That is sort of being thrown out there. It says, what do you have for capability? Where C-Track is more of, here's a problem, anybody fix it, right? We don't care how you fix it, just fix it, right? And so that's a little bit less focused and might be a good area to sort of converse with the academy. They've got, you know, we work with only one program. We work with the engineering program, right? And, you know, getting with John to expand that is something that we're looking at. We're going to rewrite, you know, the SAL for that program to really try to open it up to the other departments, right? Mm-hmm. If we're only working with engineering, there's a whole lot of other programs, you know, within the academy, right, that are doing the same thing. They go to the warfighter, you know, what's wrong? What needs to be fixed, right? Or the warfighter comes to them, says, I need you to, you know, to attack this thing. And it, to be fair, it's a, you know, it's a paper written by a senior, right? So it's a senior airman that's writing the paper, and, you know, here's the problem I've heard of, and then they kind of take these things, and they go and create them into a problem set to try to go solve, and they just kind of throw it out there to, you know, to an ecosystem. They go and find companies that might fit, but, you know, having that open class of performers, smalls, of groups that could attack those things may be, you know, of a higher value set, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. But I, you know, that's, there's still a problem set where I think what I'm seeing, at least on a lot of the events that I've taken notes at are smalls events, is these people are coming up with ideas that the government that I'm aware of don't know they have a problem yet, right? They've got a solution to fix a problem that the government hasn't thought about yet. And those types of things, I think, is what I'd like to see some of these small businesses get into, some type of accelerator, or at least in front of a customer to say, hey, I've got this new software thing that will blow your mind that you didn't know you needed yet. Here's why you need it, right?
And we're looking at creating a forum that we don't have the time schedule set up yet, but the idea is just that. Open forums where folks can come down to the campus, come down to Harvey House, sit in, get the warfighters in the room, you know, folks from buildings 1, 2, and 3, and have those opportunities to get those conversations fueled up between the two different organizations.
Okay. So what else you guys got here at Catalyst?
Have you heard about SAC-T? I
have not.
Sprint Advanced Concept Training. It's probably the cutting edge of worldwide engagement that we have here at the campus. And in conjunction with AFRL, tied in with the Unified Data Library, tied in with Space Camp, they're running worldwide exercises that are helping prove out how the Department of Defense can actually transfer some of the space traffic management responsibilities to the Department of Commerce. And that's out of Presidential Space Directive number 3.
Okay, so let me just back up for a second. They're looking at the space track data right now of space debris or anything in space, right?
Anything.
So space domain awareness, essentially,
yeah,
SDA.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Yep. And so what's interesting in this, and if I'm fumbling through the words, thank you, because that's, if you talk SDA, that's...
Well, it used to be SSA, right? Space, yep, Situation Awareness. Yeah, and then SDA. All of a sudden, hey, after 20 years, that's no longer good enough, so we need to change the acronym to really confuse people. And so SDA now, Space Domain Awareness.
Right. And so just as an example, through these exercises, that the major ones take place about 3 times per year. The ones you'll hear us talk about are 19.3, which is the year 2019, and .3 was the third exercise that took place in December of last year, and then 20.1, which just took place a couple months ago. And what's interesting is for 19.3, 3 Space Operations Center, one in Australia, one in the U.S., one in Normandy, France. And the one in the U.S. happens to be in our Space Operations and Cybersecurity Center just here on Catalyst Campus, so we were the U.S. presence there. And again, it's a week-long exercise tied in with the National Space Defense Center and activities they're working on. But this is all unclassed commercial space data saved up in the UDL, and then they run through a wide variety of exercises. And we'll get you linked up with Carrie Turner, Dr. Emily Bonner, and other folks who help run that on a global scale. From what we did in 19.3, which I'm looking at Kenny and Lauren, which was just nothing but elbows and you-know-what in our operations center, because, I mean, you're talking in the order of 40 to 60 different companies for 19.3, 8-plus countries, okay, in this melting pot on a global scale of running these exercises. And it's all sun-synced. So sun comes over, you know, your op center, hand off the baton, they run it, they hand off to the next, you know, country as they're going through these. And resounding success. What was really neat during 20.1, which Carrie and Emily can tell you more about in a later podcast, it was all virtual. So, you know, you've got Barb Goff, who is one of the key orchestrators out of STRATCOM. You've got Boom Dorminey, Colonel Eric Dorminey, who's actually running the military, at Virginia Tech. He runs the Corps.
Okay.
He's a retired colonel. We were together at 21st Space Wing back in the day. And they brought him as the lead for the exercise here at Catalyst Campus. And he's bringing in academia. you're bringing in the warfighter community, you're bringing in commercial industry. And again, proving out through a predominance of commercial space data that commercial's driving it. You know, they are driving SDA.
Yeah.
So instead of, is this recorded? If we talk about like the AFSCN, for instance, okay, we know that's an antiquated dinosaur.
Hey, I spent 15 years working on that, and I've got 7 AFSCN brand new systems under my belt, so we're working it.
It
comes down to money, right?
It does. And so what happens when you augment it with commercial, you know, now you've got commercial augmentation where now you can use these antennas around the globe to help support that along with the different systems that are on commercial based. So talk with Carrie and Emily, and what you're going to find out is they are rocking it. And in doing so, they're proving out to General Raymond, to other folks, to Mr. O'Connell on the DOC side of the house, that commercial really can drive a lot of great capability that will help our warfighting community, along with pushing technology both ways. It's a win-win across the board. And then they're bringing interns from academia. And it's, again, it's a snapshot of what Catalyst Campus is about on a global scale.
And the two, you know, Lauren's Horn and the ops team, right? They were able to build a SPOC, right, that was capable of doing a global, you know, show, right, and doing the whole thing and being the launch session for the whole concept, right? And they were able to do it in less than a month, get it put together, get tech, get all the things put into place that, you know, it's something like the Catalyst Campus can do, right? Brought it all through their vehicle, got it all set up, all put together, right, and had one heck of a show and did it in less than, you know, the 30 days. And we're talking all new computers, all new everything, right, getting the whole thing set up, you know.
And that,
probably the blueprint moving forward, really, for what these are going to look like.
DOD can't move that fast. I don't care which area you're in. It's got to be someplace like a Catalyst Campus that can do that.
I think so, too, and it gets back to just the ecosystem that's been created. But I would say, too, though, if you talk to General Raymond, who's been out here to sit down with the guys on the DevSecOps floor to see how they do business, when you've got Brigadier General James, who's the JTF, you know, Space Defense, you know, commander out at Schriever, who after 20.1 after action report saying, I want that, I want it now. I mean, they get it, and they are more accepting now than they've ever been in our time in industry or uniform, saying we recognize that the commercial side of the house is driving this, and that's okay. You know, everything does not have to be new cardened, you know, right away and spend decades like you're alluding to earlier, Nate.
It really doesn't. I mean, well, we're seeing it right now with space travel, right? I mean, if it wasn't for SpaceX and others, we wouldn't be as far along as we are right now.
Sure.
So. Well, and that's the, you know, when you do a handover, right, of, you know, space from Department of, you know, Defense, Department of Commerce, and they're tracking traffic, they're tracking junk, they're tracking everything. But then all of a sudden you start applying analytics, like what's coming out of the UDL and the smalls that are attached, right? The commercial augmentation, the commercial, you know, groups that are attached, they start doing analytics and they're like, hey, there's a lot of stuff out here moving a lot more intelligently than that we thought, right? And Carrie Turner, I'm going to paraphrase things that he said, and I'm going to murder it, so don't let him listen to this because I won't get it right. And I've heard him say it a dozen times, right? So he's going to be like, do you listen ever? Like even if one of the 12 times, right? But, you know, when things start to move intelligently that you thought were space junk previously, right, it really demonstrates that we're losing some kind of fight, right? And it depends on who those assets belong to, right? And you better hope they're friendly because they're moving a lot more intelligent and they're doing a lot more than what we were aware of and capable of. And that's the warfighter benefit of what's happening here is now they're able to adjust that. They're able to track that. They're able to attack that in such a short period. The things that came out of, you know, the early UDL, you know, early Dragon Ops, and now with, you know, Space Camp and the SAC-Ts, you know, just the rapid catch-up, the ability to get back into a level playing field, right, with those who would be our enemies, right, it's pretty impressive. And really, it's only the smalls and the agiles that can do that, that can deliver at that pace, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a great example.
But I think that's going to be good, though, to be able to deliver at all, right? Because what I've seen is, you know, I also worked SDA for about 3 years and talked with a lot of small businesses on their capabilities. It's their capabilities of what they've stuck in whatever money out of their own pockets. I mean, these are startups that stuck money into their own pockets, and their capability almost exceeds what's out there for billions of dollars that we've created. Now, is it going to last the same? No, it's not. But the point being is commercial can come up with those good ideas and implement them a lot quicker than we can. I mean, you get a brand new radar system, you're not talking $36 million. You're talking billions. Nobody that I'm aware of has that kind of money to build a brand new system. And nor could they do it in the time frame that it was built back in the 60s or 70s. You know, I worked on the ANFPS 85 system down in Destin, Florida, which is the largest radar system in the world. That system burned down, literally burned down like 6 months before they turned the switch on. They rebuilt that entire radar system in less than a year. So
under new specs and
under the exact same specs, but meaning they literally bulldozed the building into a hole. Now they made some mistakes, right? They bulldozed it. They dug a big hole, bulldozed it in front of them, built the new radar right where the old one was. So, you know, from an RF engineer's perspective, trust me, you get a lot of reflections from that stuff that's buried in the ground right in front of it.
Nice.
So not the best idea, but, you know, they were still learning. But the whole point being is there's no way you could do that nowadays. There's no way if Catalyst Campus, oh, I don't want to say that. If a building on Peterson Air Force burned down today, there is no way they'd have that built in 12 months, rebuilt.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
No. That's cool. So I was going to say, so that explains why you glow sometimes. Anyways, so
more than you know, buddy.
You guys have a really broad portfolio. It's kind of focused, but it's pretty broad. There's a lot of, where are you going next? Is there another area that you guys are poking? I know you guys are looking at each other, so there is. Just curious to kind of, I mean, you already got a lot going on.
It's secret.
So yeah. You guys going somewhere next?
Dennis, that's a great question because we're always looking at what's the next mission set. You know, right now with Platform One, DevSecOps, everything that Nick and the team are, you know, doing at that DoD level, that is the bright shiny penny right now. And at a certain point, that will be the standard, you know, that everyone's going to migrate to. So we continually ask ourselves, what is the next bright shiny penny? What is the next mission set? So, and to be honest with you, it's everything, you know, that we're looking at. Again, nothing locked in, but could it be hypersonics? Could it be electronic warfare? What kind of AI activity needs to be, you know, investigated further? We don't rule any of it out, and we're in continual conversations of what does that look like. And that's the nice thing about, you know, with CAT being under this marquee, it opens up doorways for those conversations with industry, with the warfighting community. What are their needs? And certainly with General Raymond, you know, taking the helm now, we're asking those questions of him and his staff. But we're open to everything. And the idea is, and as our four plate grows too, what will that allow us to do to bring people in? Because right now we are hamstrung by physical capacity at the moment.
So space limited right now.
Absolutely, yeah. But doesn't mean we're not looking at other things.
Well, I'm sure there's a plan on the horizon someplace.
Yeah, and as a CFO, right, I've got a business plan, and I think we threw it out on day two, right? Like the idea here is it's about answering the call, right, solving problems, and I think what we're having is a growth, an organic growth of problem solving, right? The days of coming in billions of dollars late, years late, right, over budget, right. Overruns aren't the way business wants to be done anymore, right? And I think it was tolerable and it was too big to fail, right? It was all those kind of things, right? And now they're starting to see, wait a minute, I can go out, right? And I can attach to smaller commercial. You can use a vehicle like what we have in place to attach, you know, activity to government funding, right? And create the collaboration, create the labs, create the rapid prototyping, right? And I think organically what we're seeing is this is catching on, right? That this is what the government needs. And I think for the first time ever, I think they probably knew it, but they didn't know how to get to it either. And change is scary, change is difficult. And I think, you know, we've a lot of these people that we talk about, these names that we mentioned today, right? They've created the change. What they've said is, I'm gonna put my career on the line, right? And we're gonna go out there, we're gonna prove that this can be done, that it can be done safely, right? You know, we watch Navy. Navy's still taking baby steps and moving with us, right? We can't be out, we have to be on a second floor, we can't be next to windows, right? We need guards, we need a wall, we need to be on base. It's like, then stay on base, right? Like,
I want you to make a new base here and put up all the walls and everything else, and then, my favorite though, when, you know, I ran a program at Peterson, and my favorite was when they would come to me and say, okay, Nate, we've got new requirements, right? Every week, we've got two more people. Requirements were people, right? ANAS contracting. And they come to me like, hey, we have a new requirement down here in this TS program. So we can't really talk to you about the program. We can't tell you what the program is about, which is fine. They could if I went in a special room, but it, you know, where we were talking, they couldn't talk about it. But they would be like, okay, so we need a senior level cyber engineer, needs to have CISSP, CISEP, a couple other new things that are coming out. They need to have 20 plus years experience, a master's degree, working towards a PhD, TS, SCI already, and we need them to start in 2 weeks, and we want to pay them $85,000 a year.
Keep looking.
Typically, I would literally laugh at the colonel right in his face. I'm like, sir.
Ain't gonna happen.
He's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, well, sir, all due respect, right? As somebody that's managing people, I have to manage expectations with them, right? What are you going to be doing in this new role when I hire somebody? But my job is also to manage your expectation as the boss, right? As my customer. That's not going to happen. I'll give it a college try, but I tell you right now, that's not going to happen, because how am I going to pull that person away from that phenomenal job where they're sitting in a, you know, high-rise facility downtown Colorado Springs with a view of Pikes Peak, and they've got a Starbucks in the building, right? You're asking me to bring this person down into a skiff that they literally have plants.
So you're saying Catalyst Campus is like a high-rise in downtown Colorado Springs with Starbucks? You guys don't have Starbucks, do you?
Just a couple.
You know,
that's our plan for the future.
We do not have.
That's the only thing Catalyst Campus is missing. You guys do have beer, which is fine.
But next is Starbucks.
You need to bring
Dutch
in
Bros.
Some more.
Dutch Bros
is two blocks away, go. Man. We want to exercise a little before you take in those 500 calorie drinks.
But you got to bring exactly. them here, right?
Or 5,000 calories.
You got to bring them in in-house. I think that'd be, and develop that, your own ecosystem, right? Yes. That way you don't have to let go.
I'm going to try to reel Nate in a little bit. So, a lot of programs, a lot of opportunities. How do folks out in radio land, podcast land, how do they get a hold of you guys? How do they start getting involved with the activities? Get on your distro list. How's that all happen?
Yeah, definitely. If they just give us a phone call, go to our website, catalystcampus.org. You will probably, once you call, you'll talk to an operations specialist like myself, and we can get you hooked up to our distribution list. We're going to be starting a newsletter here. So just look out for that on all of our social medias as well. Yes. Okay, so we have LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
you want a job
out.
On the side? We need somebody to start running some of this stuff for us too, right?
Ooh, I mean, yeah.
Still trying to get rich. Let me know. To we'll sing talk on after TikTok. This.
It is a nonprofit though.
Right.
That means we don't pay anybody.
Yeah. If we can get rich on TikTok, and we'll be.
TikTok will be there.
We will have a really.
I can't do TikTok. I just can't do it. I've taken it off my daughter's phone. Just put it that way. After some of the stuff I see on TikTok, I'm like, yeah, you don't need this. You're 13 years old. Don't need it.
Oh yeah. You never know. You never know what you'll see.
You know, just even for me, keeping up with social media has been a big challenge. In fact, you'd say, gee, Rich, don't see much of you out there. And it's what's amazing is Dennis, and as you're asking how to get involved, there is so much activity going on, and we do want to share it with folks. Mm-hmm. So Lauren is actually taking that on, you know, for us, because especially during COVID, we want to be a voice out there, not just one of the listeners. And it certainly has taken a higher priority, for me too, because at the campus, we were wondering going into COVID, okay, so folks aren't going to be coming down here. And, you know how it is. You walk at the vibe, just a beautiful place. But it really is the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking at Kenny. I mean, have we been busier in these last few months prior to? No, I mean, it's only ramping up, right, because of different activities we're involved in. I mean, whether it's the Aegis Program Office, whether it's talking with folks in Oklahoma City, Ogden, Utah, I mean, they're very interested in the kind of type of replication of activities here, opportunities for partnership, opportunities for growth. But then you look at the capabilities being generated here, whether it's SAC-T, man, they didn't slow down at all. But Catalyst Campus still finds its way in those conversations, Space Camp, Platform One. And so in that regard, it really is the ecosystem. But there is something about hanging out with the folks you work with in a place like this that just keeps that energy high. But right now, I'd say we're absolutely, we're burning on all cylinders. Would you agree, Kenny?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we're kind of bucking the trend, too, a little bit. You know, people are actually chomping at the bit to get back instead of chomping at the bit to stay away, right? I think what people are missing is that collaboration, right? I think inherently humans, we don't want to be isolated, right? We want to be with other people. Exactly. But I think what value this place brings is that interaction, is that collaboration. I mean, it's what we do. It's what we're here for. Contractually, we have to do it, right? We have to provide it. And
it's what makes you you, right?
Yeah.
As a campus, it's... Otherwise, why call it a campus, right? Otherwise, just another business office.
So next event?
Tech Collision, end of July. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, Tech Collision. So Catalyst Accelerator, like Nate said, at the end of July, it's going to be pretty much our kickoff event to come back to campus,
We hope. Kamar's looking at it very, very closely. It could find its way into just a complete virtual scenario, but she's looked at everything, her whole team, Marche, the whole gang, FRL, what's going to be the right right way to set this up, but obviously even today on what, June 23rd, all you have to do is look at the news and you see the stats climbing and climbing, and not to even touch that conversation, but they will have it. They will have, yeah, no chance. they're going to have it, Dennis. But,
so what's the focus of this one? There's a focus, right?
Oh, well, it's it gets to the small agiles presenting their capability to a variety of government and VC interested parties, and it covers the gamut. I'd almost put it in the open topic category. Would you guys agree with that?
It's as close as they've come to an open topic.
Okay.
It's,
that's what I wanted to get.
Showing the art of the possible. No, it's a great point. Right now, though, you know, virtual certainly just in today's news, boy, it's sure looking more promising by the minute. But we'll continue to get the word out to make
sure.
So
if you're a small government contractor and you want to get involved, you go to their website, and I think registration ends. I'm not sure what the date is. It's coming up though to get into the event.
Yeah, I'm not 100% positive on what the actual cutoff date is.
Stall for me.
July 6th or something like that. It's
coming up. July 6th? Could that be it?
Anyways, so people need to be aware of that so they can get involved. And like you said, if it's open, that's better for them to get involved. Right. So.
And catalystaccelerator.space /tech collision is where you can go to sign up.
Beautiful.
There you go.
And we have been putting that on our newsletter.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, yeah, so we really just want to keep getting more and more involved with you guys. You know, we're not huge yet. But, you know, someday we'll have 40 million subscribers to this podcast, and we'll look back on this
day.
We
are international now.
That was the first time that we actually did something in person, so I kind of like it. Yeah. And for those people, don't freak out there. We are sitting 6 feet apart, so we're in this massive room with a big table.
Just so you know, the podcast has gone international. So
that's awesome.
You might get some more international interest.
That's fantastic. Well, you know, when you say that, Nate, and I'm looking at you and Dennis, like, but we see you guys around. So, you know, the concept of the smalls and what you guys are doing is just terrific. You know, you're creating community that now way outside the state lines of Colorado, if you will, which is fantastic. But for those listening too, it's like, I'm so used to seeing you guys. So when you say that, it's like, what? You know, because you are part of this. And I think that's what's nice. I mean, for the year and a half I've been here, I mean, I've lost track of how many events you've been to. Which is great, though, because you guys are a voice out there. And I know we appreciate it because you help keep the ecosystem strong. And for that, thank you very much.
No, it's been wonderful. And thanks for the free beer.
Always. Always.
After food. And no, I
say.
The keg is capped. Actually, I like the Shea drink more, you know. For those that don't know what the Shea drink is, out to Catalyst Campus.
Mm-hmm. Is that her mixture?
Shea.
Yes. It's,
she has a drink made after her, so or named after her. So.
Right. The 1350 distillery across the street made a
Shea
punch or rum punch or something.
Yep. It's not bad.
Veteran owned and great teammates here in town.
You get a half a cup though. Don't, especially if you have to drive home, you know, be responsible.
That's right. That's right.
So, anything else you guys want to talk to us about Catalyst Campus yet?
I want to ask Kenny because he's always got something profound and I sit there and go, I wish I'd thought of that. So I'm going to, of course, he's looking at me like, really put me on the spot like that.
Right,
but he always does
spot.
It. Well, wait, before you say it. I think this is important, though, because when you look at our staff...
My profoundness was not important.
He's going to tell you what your profoundness is.
Here is the answer to life, but before we do that, I'm going to tell you something that's more important, is what just happened, just so we're clear on that, right? Well, everybody's on the same page? Okay.
Well, what I think is really cool about our staff is the fact that we come from all different walks of life, you know, and we come from different age groups, too. You know, where Kenny, coming from the commercial side of the house, adds such an important flavor to how we engage with, you know, our DoD clients, how we engage with the local community, how we engage with even at the national level. And without that, we'd be lacking. You know, Brandon is our COO, you know, grew up in the Air Force, you know, has been in industry for a while. You put these two guys together and some of these conversations we have locally and even on communities outside the state lines, I just sit back and listen because they can cover so much ground together and there's a great compliment. You bring Lauren into the picture and she is this face of Catalyst Campus with her background. And she's a local gal, right?
Yes.
Born and raised. There you go. So her roots are here. I had to marry into it myself. Not Lauren, my wife, Debbie. Yeah, make sure we get that right there. But the thing is, though, before I turn over to Kenny, I think that's one reason I really value his insight is because he brings a different flavor. We're not just a bunch of folks who grew up in uniform, went into industry, and then we came here. And I think that's what makes the place so special because we can adapt to the needs of our community. So with that, I'd like to introduce our CFO, CIO, Kenny Hollis.
Now, Kenny, just that note he just passed you, whatever you wrote on that piece of paper, just ignore that, okay? Just you say what you want to say, okay?
It was something, something, remind them that I'm handsome. It was something, like, that. It was something like that.
You are the face so, of Catalyst Campus, right? Yeah. No, moneymaker.
No, you know, I think maybe I've identified is key in this conversation, and really your listeners, right, is that, you know, Catalyst Campus is here for the small agile. We're here to bring in really that commercial wrapper into what the government does, right? Giving that attachment to the govy and giving the small agiles that opportunity in a non-threatening way, right? We used the word agnostic, right? And so I think what you guys are doing great, and I think you guys are great. We have a great friendship with you guys. You know, I'm very excited about this. You know, and I think anybody that's listening, anybody that is looking for that opportunity, even if we don't have the accelerator, right, set up to be that, you know, that big open thing yet, right? You know, Catalyst Campus is here, right? I always say it. I don't know if this is the platform for it, but, you know, Rich and Brandon and, you know, everybody, these guys came from a military background, right? And the idea here is to support the warfighter. It's what we do. It's what we're here for. And we want to achieve that mission regardless, right? And I was born on a military base in El Paso, Texas, right? And so I grew up in a military family and chose to play basketball instead of, go and chase the military. But I grew up understanding that respect for the warfighter. And having the opportunity to come down here, you know, shift gears a little bit, come down to the Springs, I'm out of Denver, and come help the warfighter, I think it was something special. And really the first time, you know, Rich and I sat down and had the conversation, I think we realized, you know, we're on the same page. Our goal here is let's deliver for the warfighter. Let's make sure the warfighter gets home safe. Let's make sure we win the next fight, right? Ultimately, that's the goal here. And I think the best way to do that is to bring in the creativity, you know, the speed, right? All those things that the agiles can bring, the smalls can bring, right? So I think what you guys are doing is absolutely what the military needs, you know? And I think we're kind of on that forefront. We're still banging our head against, you know, ceilings and walls every day with what change creates, right? Yeah. And we love being a part of it because these guys wear the uniform. They know the bureaucracy. They know the headaches, right? And I've heard you say a couple times today, like, wow, that's different, right? Yeah. And that's what's cool is we're changing, you know, and we're attached and partnered with a lot of people that are changing the government, right? And so far, so good, right? A lot of really good things are happening. And so if they want to be a part of that, if your listeners are excited about what they're hearing and they see opportunity, they finally hear what they want to hear in terms of that opportunity with the Govy, CCTI is here, right? So
once again, that's catalystcampus.org or .com?
.org.
.org. Okay, so catalystcampus.org.
Yes.
Is there an email address you guys want to throw out?
I believe we've got, support at catalystcampus.org is our...
I would just do...
We've got three laptops we have, here, right?
Right. If anything, just send an email out to operations@catalystcampus.org, and we'll get you hooked up to anyone that you need to speak with.
Excellent. So, Lauren, profound words of wisdom.
I know.
Gave you a piece of paper or anything, so...
Well, I don't know how I can top that from what Kenny just said, but either way...
You weren't listening.
Oh, yeah. I just turned out. No, I mean, I'm just... If listeners are listening to this podcast, just come to Catalyst Campus, check it out. I know we threw out our social medias, but even just stopping by and seeing what the campus looks like, just come on in.
You guys are all very friendly. I will say that. Thank you. Why I keep coming back, right? You got to put a smile on the face, right? Because if you're having a bad day, just smile, right?
Right.
It might help somebody else if it doesn't help you.
So. Are you sure it's not the free beer?
Yeah. I was going to say it's the two kegs of friendly down the hall here.
I don't know about free. Sometimes you got to listen to a couple hours of Rich talking. And so,
that hurts.
You know. But I do want to say thank you, guys. One other thing, though, before we close this one out, if anybody does have questions about Catalyst Campus and you want to get a hold of them, you forgot how to get a hold of them after we've told you three times in this podcast, you can always contact the Smalls at smallscolorado@thesmalls.org. You can also contact us at justnate@thesmalls.org as well. So if you want to go that route, we can always help put you in touch with the right people at the right time. But in all honesty, I want to say thanks everybody in the room here.
Thanks, Dennis.
This is by far going to be our best podcast ever. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, okay. Ever. Awesome.
Man, ever. Nice. We've now hit like 39 different states. This might make us go to all 50 states. All right.
Here. And international. I want to try to stay humble, but you're welcome.
Yes. We do have to make sure that everybody stays humble. Yes. So with that, Dennis, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dennis.
Everybody else, thanks for having us here.
Yeah.
So with that, tune in next week. Go ahead.
I just want to say I hope we can, in the future, line one up where you two can have a conversation with Kevin O'Neill, our founding owner. There's just, you know, when he adds his flavor to how this place really came to be, you'll just get a charge. It won't be as exciting as this one, but it'll be really close.
Well, I'm going to task you with that then, okay?
You got it.
You help us get in touch. We'll, you know, I know Kevin now too. Yep. Talked with him a few times, but definitely get him on a podcast and we can talk anything he wants, right? Yeah. That's kind of the whole point, is to get those types of people out in front of the community and to reach as far as we can just to help, right? That's the whole point.
I think your listeners will really get a kick out of you guys talking together.
So, okay, well, thanks again, guys. With that, we're going to mosey on out of here and tune in next week for the next event. Awesome.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Smalls Podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.